bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now. Stand up now.
Happy Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe. And something I was going to mention to you right off the bat. What was it?
It was...
I've got a stat for you while you're thinking of that, maybe.
All right, I'm ready.
This is from Jordan DeLugo, who writes about the Jaguars. He says that the Jaguars' two losses this season have come to teams that are combined 0-4 against their other opponents. The Dolphins and the Browns have been outscored 109-45 when not playing the Jaguars this season. So the Jags have lost to two teams that have been smoked by the other four teams that they've played. Take that for what it's worth.
So Jags by five.
So Jags.
Like in the NFL, don't you have to do this in the NFL? All right. It's obvious. The better team is the Bills. They're going to win. Fast forward 3 hours later. Oh, Jags 31, Bills 26. Like, oh, how'd that happen? Now the Bills are going to win. They're going to be fine.
They can't lose to the Jaguars again. That's my mantra going in this game. Yeah, they're due to beat the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Easily.
Mark in Coconut Creek, Florida. Hey, Mark.
Well, if we score 31, we win for sure. So this happened to be down in Morgantown this weekend. I went and watched West Virginia play Kansas and happened to bump into Western New York, coaching legend John Beilein, he's a Deary and Canisius, and they were honoring the 2004-2005 West Virginia team that won the Big East. But anyway, I stuck around and watched the Steelers game, and you know, I noticed the way they're playing with that defense. You know, they're tough, and I see that philosophy working a little bit, because one thing they were getting were some decent-sized chunk plays out there, so I think, you know, we look like we may be on a collision course with Steelers again. And I just think this is Coleman's coming out game tonight. So he'll have a big game. Like you said, if we get 31, it's a W. So, you know, let's go Bills. Let's do it tonight.
All right, Mark. And I don't agree with the collision course of the Steelers.
No.
I do not think the Steelers are good. They could raise the Lombardi trophy, and I'll tell you they're not good.
Are they better, though, than they've been?
Probably.
Like, Fields is a little exciting. I just still don't respect them as an overall team. Like,
nope.
Can they win the AFC? No chance. But Fields is a little more intriguing to me than what? They've had Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges in their winning games in the past.
Yep.
What does a Coleman coming out party also look like? We don't qualify 4 for 51, is that? So what like 100 yards?
This. Coming out party can be any one of a few things. Can be catches, could be yards, could be touchdowns.
Okay.
How many is it if it's just catches?
8.
Okay. I'll allow it. 7 to 8. 8 catches, yes.
Okay.
Yards. If it's just yards.
94.
If it's just yards, that would mean one catch for
you'll
94.
You'll say 90. Wait.
It's probably closer to like 84. 84 yards.
I think he's got to get 100.
Okay.
Coming out party, you got to be 100. You're going to have a nice game that's not a coming out party. Out party is you are the talk of the league the next morning, and he's got to have 100 for that.
How about touchdowns? 2?
Yes. 2 touchdowns. He puts it good. All together.
And then that's a party. That's a party.
Now it's just a party. Yeah. 8 for 100 and 2 touchdowns.
We are living in this very strange time in Bills offensive evaluation history where not having big stats for some people is something they love. They want it. They want no one to break out. Here I go. I hope Coleman goes for 203 touchdowns. But everybody wouldn't be eating in that scenario. It'd just be he'd had a great game. You have some Bills fans that really like this idea of balance, which once you're thinking about balance and forcing balance, I mean, that's not playing free. Like, the ball goes where it goes. Who's open? Where do the reads go? Who deserves it?
Isn't that just what you say, though, until somebody actually does it?
Yes.
The day Coleman has 180 yards tonight.
That'd be awesome.
And he has, and Allen throws for like 250. They win the game, and Coleman has 80% of their output. What does tomorrow sound like?
The Bills have a star.
There is no one in the world that is actually upset by it.
Right. The Bills have a star.
Right. Because you could say right now, like, I like spreading the ball around. I like everybody eats. But if one person eats tomorrow and it's this star-studded coming out party for Keon Coleman or for any of them, nobody is going to be upset by that.
No.
At all. It'll be everyone coming together. Like, I see this actually was pretty good. Unless it happens in, like, garbage time, and then maybe they'll complain about it. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
they're never in garbage time.
The Giants are not a good team, and the talk of the town is going to be Malik Nabers being a stud.
Yeah, like one of the best receivers in football for the next 10 years. Yeah, not the best receiver in football for the next 10 years.
They force him the ball, and it's a good idea. We'll see what they do today with the Bills. If they're going to feature anybody, whether that's Shakir. Here's a question for you. I mentioned this on Friday. I've got a fantasy decision. Shakir or Christian Kirk?
Shakir or Christian Kirk?
And with no Evan Engram,
yep.
Is Kirk featured more? Like Kirk?
I think so. I think he is their underneath guy without Engram because Thomas and Gabe are running a lot of routes down the field. Kirk, to me, is someone that's running a lot out of the slot. He has only two catches through two games.
He's not been a big part of their offense.
Man, seven targets, but two catches for 29 yards.
Gabe is their leading target. In the pass game, it's been Gabe Davis.
I don't know if they're going to want to keep that going.
No, you probably want to get a little more Brian Thomas Jr. He's looked all right.
I think you got to start Shakir. I think you have to. Shakir has been the apple of Allen's eye, if you will, since Brady took over. Well, no, you can't even really say that because last year, remember, it was more about efficiency. But maybe it's a buildup. 21 straight targets he's caught. And if Allen knows that. Allen feels that. He might not know that it's 21 straight targets Shakir's caught, but he would feel it. And it's very clear there are a couple of contested targets last week. There's one over the middle of the field where, you know, there's two, three guys kind of around Shakir's area, and Allen just bullets it in there. So, to me, like, I guess if you look over at Jacksonville, maybe there's a bigger question there than even here of, hey, who's the guy Lawrence likes? You're still figuring that out. Here, I don't think we're really figuring it out. I think it looks like Shakir is the guy Allen likes. Shakir is the guy Allen trusts right now to go to. So I'd go to him. And he's also, you know, for fantasy, sometimes slot guys can be like low ceiling type plays. Shakir gives you the odd big play, right? He did it against the Jets last year, even against the Cardinals. I would probably think that more than half the slot receivers in the league do not turn that into a touchdown, and he turned it into a touchdown, which made his... If you started him in fantasy, that one play is what gave you a good game. So, yeah, I think I'd pretty confidently say I'd go Shakir over Kirk. I'm starting him in the league, too.
I've got stat of the day for you from the league yesterday.
Okay.
Stat of the day, maybe stat of the year.
Maybe stat of the year.
It might have to be stat of the year. Because we might have to argue about it.
What is our stat of the year right now? We need a leader in the clubhouse. All right. Maybe this will be it.
Here it is. Ready? Have you seen Jahmyr Gibbs' receiving stats from yesterday?
I have not.
He had a touchdown and 20 yards receiving on zero catches.
Wait a minute. He had
a touchdown.
One more time?
He had a touchdown and 20 receiving yards.
Oh, I know what happened.
And zero catches.
It's zero catches.
Those count as receiving yards because he caught the lateral from Amon-Ra St. Brown.
So I have a question. Is this fair? He got 20 receiving yards. Do you know what Amon-Ra St. Brown got on that play?
A catch?
So this is what happened. By the way, the Lions, not saving this for like a later in the year or I don't know. They ran a hook and ladder up 10 at the end of a half.
Good.
In week 3.
That's how it should be.
All right. Anyways.
Now that when they run it for desperation, teams will be looking for it.
Uh-huh. So, St. Brown, he runs a hook. It's about a 10-yard hook. He gets credit on the play for one catch for 1 yard. How does that make any sense? One catch for 1 yard?
Yeah.
He ran a 10-yard route. He caught 10 yards. Shouldn't he get 10 yards?
That's a good question.
Why does Gibbs get all of them? Quirk in the scheduling there.
Yeah.
Also, I was wondering if Goff would get the touchdown because a couple fantasy sites got confused by it too. and they didn't give Goff the passing touchdown because they marked it as a Gibbs rushing touchdown.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, Sam Monson just tweeted a moment ago. It goes as 20 receiving yards without a catch.
Okay.
And a touchdown reception without a catch.
Right. And Goff gets credit for a touchdown pass also.
More stats. Minnesota, yeah. The first team to get 5 sacks in 3 straight games to begin a season since 2001. They sacked C.J. Stroud 5 times.
It's pretty good.
Yep.
They look... What's that division right now? The Packers... LaFleur is gonna get coach of the year, isn't he?
Yes. If Malik Willis, if they hold things together, then get Jordan Love back, yes.
Yeah. The Bears don't look ready.
Nope.
And then the Lions.
Lions look good, but not as good as last year, maybe. At least not right now.
All right, so it's still a good division.
Yeah.
Just maybe we thought Chicago would be the third good team in Minnesota.
Which is bad
Darnold
news.
Looks good.
Which is bad news, Bills fans, because it's not going to go that far down, but the Bills have Minnesota's second round pick.
Yes.
And we thought that might be bottom 5.
No, it's not.
It doesn't look like that right now. Their defense is legit. And Sam Darnold is playing well.
If we look through the Bills' schedule right now, how many of their games actually do look daunting now? Past the next 2. Baltimore and Houston on the road. Those are tough games.
The Jets.
I'm still not convinced.
At the Jets looks daunting-ish. I think Seattle looks more daunting than it did.
Okay.
I think the Seahawks might be okay. Dolphins, no. Colts, Chiefs, the same. Niners, we'll see if they get their weapons back. Rams, I don't really believe in the Rams.
No.
I think the Bills' defensive line will destroy the Rams.
It's amazing to me they won that game yesterday. It's amazing the Rams won that game.
It is incredible.
I mean, Matthew Stafford was... Actually, give both those quarterbacks credit. They were both without... Like, of the top 7 weapons that those 2 teams possess, were 5 of them out? Were 6 of them out? And Purdy and Stafford played awesome. Stafford was great. Purdy, they lost that football game. I don't know that I've ever been more impressed with Brock Purdy in a football game. He didn't have Debo. He didn't have Kittle. He didn't have McCaffrey. There were guys being covered down the field. He was running around. He was creating things. He was throwing guys open. Like, that was a super impressive game for Purdy. So that game late in the year is still going to be that. And they might have their guys, they might have their guys back by then. You said the Seahawks, that game against Miami. While we're packing stats here into this segment, this one from Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins. The Dolphins' total offensive EPA yesterday, out of 61 plays, their total expected points added was -25.
It feels like EPA is broken, if that's what you
mean. I think the Dolphins broke EPA. Because they were so bad. -25, clearly. That'd be 3 pick sixes.
Yeah. Rasmus Dahlin back on the ice with the Sabres at practice.
Oh, good. Okay. So no concern. We had a caller last segment that was like wondering if there was something fishy going on there.
Yeah, we'll see. Back on the ice. Good.
And Devin Levi probably in net tonight. Is that a night? Go to watch the first period of the Sabres game tonight and then... Go walk to a bar nearby to watch the game, the Bills game?
It's not that bad. One thing about tonight's game, you said you love the 7:30 start time.
Yes.
This is very on-the-nose specific. 8:15 would be better for me. It's the rare late would be better.
And why is that?
Getting toddlers to sleep.
it's that exact every night?
It's not exact.
Yeah.
But getting toddlers to sleep hours before 7:30?
Impossible.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
Before 8:15, 75% chance we can get that. It takes a full day. You gotta guide this thing. It's like
Well, what's the latest you'll go? You can't wait till halftime?
No, we could, but then you're missing. You're missing the second half part of it. Put them. Hey, sleep.
So basically, you have to. But with it being this early, you have to commit to what chunk of the game am I willing to miss?
Yes. My wife
on paper.
Whoever it is. If my wife does bed tonight or Friday, if I were to do bed, someone would be signing up for I'm going to miss a certain amount of time putting the kids to bed.
What's the right part of the game to miss? Start of the third quarter?
Maybe. I mean, the Bills might
or
be up
the
by
third quarter.
Maybe the Bills are up by 28. Just don't even worry about it, you know?
Yep.
But 7:30 is a tougher kid bed than 8:15 is for us. It might not be the same case for, you know, those of you with 8-year-olds or 12, whatever. Maybe your 8-year-old's staying up and watching the game. That's the other part of it, Joe. If instead of 7:30, if it were 6:30, I'd stay up and watch the whole game. And go to bed late.
Are they old enough to know, like, game situations and whatnot? Like, if it's a close game, will they, you know what I mean? Will they know?
Not
Will
really.
They be mad because they want to see what happens in the game?
No, not quite. Not really. Sports knowledge for the 3.5-year-old twins is Tage Thompson.
Yep.
Where's Tage Thompson?
Okay.
Daddy, where's Tage? A lot of the preseason game was, where's Tage Thompson?
Okay.
And once I introduced them to J.J. Paterka, also known as J.J. the Turkey, J.J. the Turkey gets a lot of attention now.
Okay.
They scored a lot of goals, the Sabres did on Saturday.
Yeah.
So then they're at the age where it's fun to, you give them a name and they say it for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, let's try on Henry Yoki Haru. And you get, you know.
That, I'm sure that went perfect.
It was a fun one. Yeah.
Nicholas Obey Kubel.
Right, exactly.
That one might
be
tough.
That's a little tougher. On football, it's a lot of Josh Allen. And Dawson Knox, of course. My son's name is Knox.
Okay.
Yeah. CJ writes in, which is most likely to happen in tonight's weird Bills-Jags game? A fumble through the back of the end zone, a fair catch kick, or a one-point safety? Now,
one-point safety would be awesome. One-point safety's never... I don't think a one-point safety's ever happened.
Right.
In the NFL.
Do you know about the fair...
in college.
The fair catch kick, what that is?
Fair catch kick?
Yes.
No.
A fair catch kick.
Is this the ball's coming down and you punt it out of the air back to him?
No. So a fair catch kick is... Man, when's the last time fair catch kick that this has happened?
Oh, on a kickoff?
A team punts to you.
Okay.
And
I'm the returner.
You're the returner. You wave for a fair catch as time expires.
Okay.
I believe the rule is, from there, you get an untimed, no rush attempt at a field goal.
Oh.
It's just a free kick.
I think I've seen this. Okay.
Because you'd have to be making a field goal, like a fair catch. Let's say it's at the 50.
Yeah.
Possession and the ball, you can get a kick there if you want it. The last successful fair catch kick was 1976.
Okay. It is... I'm looking this up because I thought this happened a couple of years ago.
You can do a...
It must not have been successful. The Niners tried this... Like in 2013, they tried to do it and they just missed the kick.
Yeah. It's a place kick or a drop kick. You can't use a tee, but there is no rush.
You're just kicking.
You just hold her, you kick it.
Yeah.
Free kick. Wait a minute. The NFL rule says it's not a free kick.
I'm watching the video of it and it looks like a kickoff.
Yeah. They try to go through the uprights?
Yeah, he tries to kick it through the uprights and he doesn't get it.
All right. I want this tonight.
And then the other team can return it if they want, but a fair catch kick. So basically what we're going for here is some rule that 98% of the fans in the building doesn't know exists, and that gets brought out. Like the one-point safety that he mentioned, that has never happened in the NFL. And again, it's kind of hard to create. That's not hard to create, the scenario that you just did about the fair catch kick. For a one-point safety, you need to somehow go backwards 98 yards. On a 2-point conversion. So, I don't know. What? You throw a pick, and then Allen chases down Josh Hines Allen, and he knocks the ball out at the 1, and the Bills recover it in their own end zone. Bam, 1 point for the Jaguars. That's never happened, and I can't imagine that would ever happen, but this would be the two teams, I feel like, where it would happen. The Jaguars.
803-0550. It's Buffalo Bills football Monday. You can join us if you'd like. Anyway. Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
And I'm just flabbergasted. I mean, one game, big deal, two games, all right. It's a third game now where we have not seen the magic of Mahomes and Kelce, and I can't really explain that one.
Travis Kelce's retirement. Did you hear about it?
He's going to retire after this year, probably, right?
Yeah.
He's living life. He's, you know.
This is going to be the last one. Yeah.
And he looks old, so.
He's never had a stretch like this, Kelce.
No.
Not with Mahomes. No way.
Like, you got to go back to his rookie year, I think, to find a stretch like this.
Now it's the Mahomes-Rice show. They tried to get Carson Steele in the end zone last night. They couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
He got, like, three carries inside the five, but couldn't hammer it home.
I saw someone wondering about Mahomes and his speed at this point, too, because there was one play where he could have got around the edge and he didn't have the speed to do it. He's never been, like, you know, super fast straight ahead in the first place. But the last thing I'm going to do is predict his demise because he can't run anymore.
Right. Who right now is Josh Allen's biggest competitor in the MVP race?
It's not Mahomes right now. I don't know. Is it? They're 3-0.
They're 3-0.
Do we care about turnovers or don't we? So Mahomes and
Lamar had a good
Lamar had a good game.
But they're 1-2.
Yep.
Who's the biggest competition for Allen's MVP?
Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle. Geno Smith.
Malik.
Is that Malik nuts,
Neighbors?
He's not winning MVP.
What if they get a wild card and he has like 2,000 yards?
He's got an award for him already, though. Right?
That's right.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, none of the quarterbacks are grabbing that. Like,
no.
Neighbors would be the favorite for that today, probably. I say Geno Smith because he's got some of the best numbers through three games, but, like, they're not giving Geno Smith MVP. Right? He's not sustaining that over 17 games. He looks good.
I don't know that Bills Mafia would make it through that.
Geno Smith winning MVP.
I don't know if we could bring him through it.
I mean, Stephen Ruiz from The Ringer, like, some people love him. He ranked him coming into the year, I think, as his ninth best quarterback in football. Like, Geno is probably better than his reputation, but yeah, I agree with you. If he won MVP before Josh Allen did, but I don't think Bills fans could take it. Who's after that? Like, I don't know if there is. I think it's... Isn't this just kind of the league? Are we just right back to... Are we in this place every year? Here's Aaron Schatz. Like, oh, here's the favorites in the NFL. Who are the best teams by DVOA going into Monday Night Week 3? And, like, it's number one and number two, Bills and Chiefs. MVP. Who's number one and number two? Like, oh, Mahomes and Allen.
Yep.
Just we do kind of always get back to this same point. Like, who are the best two teams in football? That's the Bills and the Chiefs.
Could I make a case really quickly? You won't like this case, but... Josh, you give us a ruling on this. Every once in a while, people will say, you know, I want to get into the Premier League, but I don't know which team to pick.
Uh-huh, sure.
You're a Bills fan.
Yep.
Pick Arsenal. They've been the second best team in the league for 5 years. Kind of. I mean, you're going to argue semantics on Liverpool.
If you said...
3 years.
2 or 3 years.
Fine, 3 years. And it's about to be a fourth year where they're going to be what? They're either going to win it or they're going to finish just barely behind this freakish monster that won't get out of your way.
I think that's probably the best comparison for a Premier League team.
But right,
who's their Josh Allen, though? Do they have one?
Sure, yeah. they have stars and studs all over the place. They're great. They play an appealing style. They're awesome. Although I guess they've got McDermott. They're the best defensive team in the league. But they are, I say this as an Arsenal fan, so I'm biased, but they have had three, and they're about to have a fourth, incredible season, and yet this stupid team, in their way, gets all the credit. Life as an Arsenal fan right now is life as a Bills fan. Why was I dying and walking outside and needing to touch grass on a Sunday at 1 p.m. because they were playing that team and it was freaking intense. Like when the Bills played the Chiefs 2 years ago down there and they seal it on the Taron Johnson interception on the Vaughn pressure, I was unbelievably into that game because I need the Bills to prove to me, like, show us you can beat the Chiefs, show us you can do it. And they did it, and it still didn't matter. Manchester City hasn't beaten Arsenal in three meetings. And we're even at the point where they score a goal after 52 minutes of extra attacker time, 11 on 10, Arsenal's down a man. 52 minutes, City celebrates a tie like they won the league, which is another sign, like, even they know this team's right there with us, and we keep beating them. We keep staying just ahead of them. Arsenal as the Bills, not overall histories, but right now they live the same life. They live the same life. Wow, you're one of the best teams, but you got to win it or else it doesn't count.
See, we've taken turns here because this was me for 5 years before this. Liverpool finished second, I think, four times. They had... Where is it? There it is. Liverpool... This was the Bills Chiefs, too. Like, we're taking turns on this. Liverpool had a season where they lost one game and didn't win the league.
I know.
They lost one game in the whole season and didn't win the league.
Yeah.
Because of City. But... See, this is where, like, I'm in a more unique situation.
What was
you
one
for
of
this.
Those years Leicester?
No, Leicester was right before that run. Liverpool won the league once.
Yeah.
So there's kind of this...
You're the Rams.
Yeah, but is it the Rams or is it the Bills that eventually would get one? Because it otherwise is kind of the same thing. You know you're second all the time to them. You're never number one. Unless, they're number one.
Until you beat them. And every conversation is... you're good enough. Sure, some are picking you because it feels like you should have a turn up there.
But I think I used to make this point about the Bills, like maybe right after they lost the AFC Championship game, or maybe it was after 13 seconds. Something along the lines of, if you're the second best team for long enough, you're going to win one. There's too many things, too random. It's too many. If you're just sustaining, you are the second best for 10 years, you're going to win one. And that's kind of in Liverpool. Until Arsenal, they were the second best team for like a six-year stretch, and they didn't win five of them, but they won one of them.
Well, the maddening part is, and this is the major difference between the two sports, in the NFL, you should definitely win one because they have playoffs. You can be the second best team, walk in and just beat the best team because you play again. Whereas in the Premier League, like, actually, season's over. Sorry. Thanks for coming. You finished down by 1 point. It's because of a red card that Declan Rice got sent off for moving a ball in September. Have a good time. Thanks for your season. It's under protest. Michael in Denver. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how are you? Go Bills.
Go Bills.
You were talking about weird rules.
Yep.
Back in the day, Danny White was the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. He was also their punter. And I was watching a game, and he went past the line of scrimmage and punted, and it was legal. Mm-hmm. I also want to add, my son Fergus and I are heading to the Sabres in Prague, and we'll be at Oktoberfest for the Red Bull München.
All right.
Go Sabres.
You're going to go watch them play a team that's not in the NHL. That's probably rare, by the way.
It's Oktoberfest as well.
Yeah.
All right, nothing wrong with that.
That's a nice trip.
We're doing that Vienna-Prague thing, too. So,
all right.
Tell me more about this punter over the line of scrimmage. Like, how is that deemed legal?
Okay, so Danny White, you know, scrambling. He was regularly, he would strategically punt on third down because he had that skill. And they could pin somebody back in a dire situation. In this particular case, he was 3-4 yards past the line of scrimmage scrambling, and he punted. And you know, this was before we had Gene, whatever, the official guy in America or anything.
Thank you. But, yeah, Gene's territory didn't come in to tell you why it shouldn't count.
He didn't, but they were, I think they were scrambling behind the scenes on the television broadcast looking that up because they were like, hey, what is that? He's 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and he punted. And they said, yeah, that's legal.
No,
so it might be something your researchers will have to look into.
I can't know. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Michael. Enjoy the game. Enjoy Prague, too. Have a good time. I can't find anywhere where that would be legal. Like, they just would have missed it.
Just a bad call.
Yeah, Any other stuff yesterday, like rule stuff? Boy, the Lions got away with their two-minute warning. That was nonsense. What else from yesterday?
Oh, there was, this is more just a referee mistake, though. McDaniel was, I've never seen McDaniel more hot in my life watching that Dolphins game. He was losing his mind because, I mean, the game was already starting to get away from him. And they called, what did they call? They called a false start on the left tackle, but then they let the play go out. But apparently someone, one of the refs near the Dolphins sidelines blew the whistle. And then the play continued. and they counted it. And then the penalty got declined, and McDaniel is screaming at the ref. I'm surprised he almost didn't get tossed. That, like, you blew the whistle, and they're like, yeah, but he didn't mean to. Like, that shouldn't be the rule. So maybe here's another one of those meaning of the whistle. They have this in hockey, right? Well, he meant to blow the whistle. Just making stuff up as we really go along with officiating. That game, by the way, McDaniel, that happened more than once, where he looks like he's losing his mind on the sideline.
Wouldn't you?
Yes. I mean, he's reacting because his season's probably just imploded.
Yep.
And there's nothing he can do about it. At least right now. They could try to get another quarterback in there.
803-0550. Extendo Sports coming up on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
We have a comeback of sorts tonight. Dog of the day at the Sabres preseason game.
A Buckeye dog.
Nope. Columbus is the opponent.
Last time it was Columbus, they did a Jack Nicklaus theme. One of the Columbus games.
I actually don't know the tie-in here. The Golden Bear.
That's Jack Nicklaus.
I don't know why you said Jack Nicklaus. In my head, you said Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus.
Jack Nicklaus. Okay, so foot-long hot dog, spicy corn relish, celery salt, sriracha mustard.
That sounds good.
It does sound good. And then at the Bills game, we have the Battle Boat, not fries,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Good.
Forecast tonight, I don't think it's going to rain, right?
Last I checked, there was a chance, but it was a small chance.
Yeah.
So we should be okay, but you know how it is. New stadium across the street. We got a fly through.
Kind of. We got to fly around with a drone.
Fly around, fly through. It also wasn't virtual. It was like real. Like it's through the construction site. So keep an eye on that across the street. Final vibe check for tonight's game.
They're going to win. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Their offense is going to look amazing because the Jags play a lot of man defense, and Josh Allen is great against man defense.
Let me point out every single stat about Josh Allen against man defense for the entire career would be one of the best man-beating receivers on the roster, but that's okay. We'll talk about that.
And these guys might be just fine.
Yep.
I know. Yesterday was a big day to dunk on a former receiver that people are just obsessed with. The obsession.
It really is wild.
It's really... It's a deep pull. Adam Sandler and the Denise Show. There's just an obsession with the old guy.
I don't even need to make this a fight about him, by the way. But like, it doesn't have to. There doesn't even have to be a larger point about like, see, he does. Diggs has accepted a reduced role in one way in Houston. He got 12 targets yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you know why he got 12 targets? Because he's playing the slot.
Yeah.
He's playing the Beasley role. They got behind, so all that was available to them was the short underneath stuff. Who gets the short underneath stuff? The slot guy. Yeah. Diggs has accepted, I will play a different role for you in Houston. So when the Bills play them a couple weeks, or if you watch the Texans the next few weeks, like he is not playing, he's doing fine, playing the role that he did here. Not in Houston so far.
He had like 6 for 73 early in the game.
And then he piled it up.
Yes,
a little bit.
The
later
numbers got high later, but
he's like over 70%. He really is like their Beasley so far.
Yeah,
he's more complete.
And again, like,
but
I guess the thing I would say is, it is really to me it's incredible the number of people that have just accepted as groupthink that like, oh, he'll be happy because he got 12 targets even though they lost, and that's absolutely not at all any of it. It's amazing to me. But anyway. That's that. Nico Collins had 10 targets in the game. They only got 4 catches on 10 targets. They covered Collins pretty well.
Yep.
And C.J. Stroud was overmatched by Brian Flores.
That might have been his worst game. I don't remember. He probably had a bad game last year, too, but that was a bad game.
Are you ready for John Scott tweeted in this as Josh's number one MVP competitor right now?
Yeah? Who?
Guy by the name of Sam Darnold. Ready for that?
He's been great. Sam Darnold, Geno Smith for MVP.
One thing I'm a little disappointed about tonight, so again, 7:30 kickoff, that's great. It's fine. I was joking about the kids stuff. We'll be fine. I'm a little disappointed that I won't get a chance. I would watch more Jaden Daniels. I would love to see
it. Oh, yeah.
I would love to see it. But he's up against the Bills for at least half the game. All right, we're back tomorrow recapping Bills and Jags. Go Bills.